Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hello and good morning from SFU Burnaby campus, which is located on the unceded ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. And for today's Speak Up, I have two special guests with me. And before I hand it over to them, I would like to introduce myself. I would be the new co-host for the Speak Up shows on Tuesdays. And I am an undergrad here at SFU studying communications and international studies. And I have a deep interest in understanding technologies, their social implications, AI, and all the cool related stuff, and climate change. So that's the sort of my research interests. And yeah, we'll just go around the room and I'll pass it on to Rin to introduce you.
Hello. My name is Rin. I am also in communications right now. I'll be heading into my seventh year, so I've been here for a very long time now. Some of my interests, I guess, are mainly with like music, arts, a lot of the Vancouver music scene, yeah. So mainly just that kind of stuff. This is my first time on this radio ever. So I'm more like, I'm still learning, but let's see how it goes today.
Thanks so much for joining, Rin.
Hi, I'm Craig, and if Lynn is new to this, I'm even more new because this is my first time in any radio station. I am a third or possibly fourth year student. You can never really know because it all gets jumbled. But in terms of listening, I'm not a huge music person. I'm a lot more, you know, spoken word and entertainment and political, in that realm. But that's more my era than music, so hopefully I can find an avenue here to express part of my, you know, interest.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. I see that there's like a variety of people in here, and I hope the Speak Up show can hear from you guys soon. And for today's topic, I was brainstorming and stuff like that, and I found one event that SFU was hosting, and it was about working precariously, the new normal. And before I delve into the event that I was supposed to attend, but I had another class at the time, but as a research assistant here, some of my work also looks into technology, social change, social justice, labor movements around technology. So I have like a little bit of background in this stuff. So, and I also know that Rin is like in communications or is transitioning out of communications, but we talk a little bit about technology and its social implications. So I think it will be great to talk about and learn about it. And actually the event also cited an April-based report on understanding precarity of workers in BC. So I will also go off from that report and talk about what precarity of work even means, how it's relevant to people in BC. But before I do that, I just wanted to play a song that Rin suggested. And I think it's a pretty cool song. It's called 17, and it is a Korean music. So I will let you guys enjoy that. And then we'll delve into precarity of labor.
I'm
영웅 보색 like this 시간과 공간이 구애받지 않는 자세 자세
힘을 타고 쓰러져도 포기버리고 날 뛰는 중
낯이 된 것 같아서
You were listening to 17, which is a Korean music suggestion by our guest today, who is Rin. And I really enjoyed the fast music beats, and it's a good start in the morning, essentially. But yeah, let's get back to the topic for today, which is precarious work and the sort of different characteristics to call something as precarious work and the definition around it. As the two authors of the book, Angelika Ivanova and Dr. Kendra Strauss put it, is that precarious work can mean not having dependable hours, no job security, few, if any, benefits, or lack of meaningful access to any sort of workplace rights and protections, the kind of work arrangements that create insecurity and hardships for people and their families. So that's the notion or the ideas related to precarious work. And I'm just going to expand on that and also include, we normally tend to attach precarious work with digital technologies and how like different user interfaces allow for users to do work and do jobs related to tasks. So if you do 100 tasks per day, you get paid according to that. That has got a big hit because of the use of AI, specifically ChatGPT. And that is because these tasks were so simplified and so broken down into parts that it could be easily done by artificial intelligence. So with precarity of work, there is also an issue looming over them that is of AI. And these people who are in this form of labor also do not have any rights that a normal worker would have because they don't have a full-time job, or they are not in direct partnership, or they're not working under a direct firm. So for example, one example that I can come off is that Google, Microsoft, and many other big tech giants have their laborers working in Philippines, working in India, working in remote areas. And they support this idea, which is called gig economy, which is that small tasks are separated and often outsourced to different countries because their labor costs is low. They don't have to give them any benefits. Yeah, I think that was me talking too much, but... what do you guys understand, and what, when you hear the word precarious labor or precarious work, what things come to your mind? Maybe Rin can start, I guess.
Yeah, so for me, I did some research at like 6 a.m. So most of the stuff I've got is either from the Canadian Center for Occupational Health and Safety. Their website has a lot of info on precarious working, or the International Labor Organization has like a whole PDF file you can look at. Very simple information, like kind of like an easy start if you want to learn more about it, but it's not too complicated. Yep. Basically, what I mainly got out of this from digging around in the morning is precarious working is currently growing, especially after COVID. It basically just shot up. We're currently starting to near a recession on top of the fact that like everything's inflated. So how it basically is right now is like employers know they can give out bad working conditions and still get away with this because everyone needs jobs, right? We need jobs to live. And these employers basically are saying, oh, well, people need jobs, so I can give out bad conditions and people will still take these jobs, which is why all this is still happening. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that these companies who generally hire these precarious workers don't follow the provincial or federal minimum wage standards and other standards like having health coverages, having security when people, actually they don't even come to job sites. So there is no security of working conditions, or their shifts are scheduled in a very unpredictable manner if they even have shifts, because it's, the work is mostly related to the tasks. So for example, if Google wants 100 images to be tagged as violent or not violent, so if image on Google is showing some obscene pictures and stuff like that, so if it has to be flagged, the 100 tasks are outsourced to some other people to flag it. And once those 100 images are flagged or not flagged, depending on their characteristics, they are paid for those 100 images, which is often not equivalent to the work or the wage that is set by provincial or federal standards. Sorry for
jumping in. Actually, it did label last night. So there's types of precarious jobs. So there's agency work, seasonal work, contact jobs, casual on-call jobs, and part-time jobs. It also listed here self-employment jobs, as in you are technically working by yourself, but you're not really working for yourself per se. You're still working for an agency, but you're working by yourself, meaning you're still reporting to your boss, but you're considered self-employed, meaning you get basically no benefits off this.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Would you like to jump in?
Sure. Precarious labor is growing now, as stated, but it's getting especially bad when you consider the rules that are being made to adapt to the laws that would prevent it. Like, for example, child labor has grown a lot in recent years. Well, recently, Iowa passed a law stating that children as young as 14 can be considered okay to work in factories. And there's even a rule saying that if they have to travel like over 50 miles from their home to work, they can legally start driving at 14 and a half. And if something happens where they get into a crash and injure themselves, someone else, or cause death, the employer is not responsible for that because of the laws that have recently been set down, which is, it shows a degradation of society when we are making rules that are allowing for child labor and we are letting companies get off the hook for essentially putting, you know, children in precarious, horrible working situations just because that company can, because part of the rules is they can also underpay those people the minimum wage because they are literal children. And it's something that I think governments and agencies really need to start pushing back on. Because, you know, in terms of child, we hear so much about people talk about, you know, oh, child grooming and, oh, you know, a drag library reading is bad, but yet we're perfectly fine having them work with, you know, bone saw equipment that could, you know, injure or kill them.
Mm-hmm, that's so true. I also think that there is no index, especially in BC, there is no, like, because Statistics Canada maintains an index of different people of different percentages of population, which is employed full-time, part-time, and unemployment is also measured in that index. But there is no index which looks into how many people are working in precarious sectors and people who are working on these jobs which are task-based. So I think this study that I was drawing from actually tries to undo that and tries to measure the extent to which precarious employment exists specifically in BC. And I think that is a great step and in the right direction. But there is, like, as you just said, there needs to be changes in laws and measures and rights and protection of how these people work. And I think it's a long road, and I think there's a lot to unpack as well. But I'll just have one song before we delve into deeper. It's called Truthfully, and it's from a 2019 album. And I think I played it sometime back in February or something, but I might just give it a try today as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll continue talking on precarious labor and work. Yeah. So you guys were listening to the song Truthfully by the artist Eva. And it is actually a 2019 song, but I really like the beats of the music. And yeah, we're just gonna continue our journey on understanding and unpacking precarity of work. And you're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, which broadcasts from Burnaby, British Columbia. And I'm joined today with two amazing people here in the studio. And we were talking about gig economy 3 minutes before the song. And I think it is important to also talk about, because some of these terms are really like overused and we never know what these even mean. So gig economy is sort of like a form of market. Maybe it's in terms of the tech market or even small markets which are transferring themselves online that depend and rely on temporary and task-based part-time positions that are usually filled with independent middlemen, contractors, and the people who work are sometimes called freelancers. The gig economy signifies that there are no full-time permanent employees, but there are short-time, task-based, part-time, temporary workers instead. And why this idea even came up is because it's cheaper for the employees to hire workers on temporary basis rather than the permanent workers, because then they have to pay them different benefits under the provincial and federal regulations. They have to ensure the working conditions are safe within the law of the land, and they have to ensure protection and that rules are followed. But in case of temporary workers, this is a very loose definition, and a lot of work actually comes under this umbrella term of gig economy workers, and they don't have direct law protection in any sort of way. I think one example of the workers of this would be, as I was saying, people in the big tech. So Google, for example, hires many. I know social media platforms also do that to help with the image tagging and like content flagging. And yeah, I don't know if you guys also have some examples, you yourself, maybe, or your friends, or any acquaintances, because I think it's important to contextualize the term and understand what it means actually. Yeah.
I can start. So first, I want to actually look at the demographic that's actually more affected by the gig economy. Mainly, so what it's been so far is women, immigrants, Aboriginal people, people with disabilities, older adults, and youth have been much more likely to be affected by gig economy and precarious work. Yeah, reason being, well, I guess it's because,
I'm just going to jump in and answer that question. I think the reason why racialized and marginalized folks are most overly represented in this kind of work is because they don't require as many skills in a sense, or like technical knowledge of stuff. And also, these are the folks who have to do multiple jobs to keep their head above, and also because of cost of living. So these people, these demographics, resort to task-based work because it's sort of, it's said in the layman language that you get money on the fly. So as you go, as many tasks you want to do per day. So there is no liability, or there is no number of hours that you need to work from 9 to 5. So there's no thing as that in gig economy. So the people, as you said, mostly females, they can like do their work related to home and like the chores and stuff, house chores, and they can do these precarious works at the side. So this acts like as an additional labor because it is understood in the way that, oh, it does does not require much of your time or energy or your skill per se. So it's also part of the de-skilling that is happening because of technology, which is that you don't have to know everything when you enter to do a job. And I think there is a very renowned communication scholar who wrote about the precarity of labor and the relations of AI and labor and how it's going to change. Their study from 2019, Gray and Suri, they mentioned that using technology instead of the full-time workers is a form of ghost work. So we assume that it's the machine that's doing the work. So for example, when I used to look at Instagram, for example, I saw that images were sometimes flagged for violent content. And sometimes they were flagged for other reasons. They were flagged for spam. So that's not happening on its own. So that's not what your computer does on its own. That's what some people living in the so-called third world does for the big tech giants. So these are the people who are forced to see those images, forced to see those content. And they are the ones who sort of have a lens before you, and they try to protect you, and they are paid, as I said before, paid minimum, less than minimum wages. And these are the people who are exposed to all this content, and they are the ones who look at this. And that's the reason, because they understand that, oh, we are getting extra money on top of the work that we do usually. So that's the reason, I think, that mostly marginalized folks are the ones who participate in these things. I'm so sorry for jumping in like that, right?
No, it's fine. That's a good jumped in, because I was a bit stuck there, as you probably saw. But one thing I did want to point out is India, International Labour Organization, they did put out a statistics that 1 in 5 employed workers in Canada are only part-time. And that's quite a high number. And I think this number has actually increased since then, because the report is actually not that recent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so probably due to COVID and whatnot. And I think another main factor, I think, is with the increased jump, and I think all you guys know this as well, like Uber, DoorDash, like Skip the Dishes, we have a lot of new, it's like a new concept almost, right? When like, I think these like delivery drivers became a thing, it was almost kind of like a new thing for us, right? But then, like, these kind of work is just increasing more because people know it's here now, and I think a lot of more companies are trying to push towards that like working method almost. Yeah.
Yeah, and when it comes to part-time work, like part-time and gig economy work, I've had similar experiences like this myself. A couple, probably about last year, I tried signing up for this writing job at this website called Screen Rant, and I got to the next round. And they presented to me what the payment structure was going to be. And that was going to be is you would have to write 5 articles a day. And for each article, you would be paid $10. And then there was like a 33 cent extra you get for every 1,000 views the article got. But if you're making 5 articles a day and everyone else is making 5 articles a day, you're probably not getting that 33 cents. So that means that to write 5 articles a day, I would only make $50, which is less than the minimum wage. And when it comes to issues like that, I feel like if a company can't afford to pay all their employees properly, and in a case like that, if a company can't even afford to pay someone what would be the minimum wage for a day of work, then that company really